Blog Talk Radio.
Brought to you by Satanic International Network. You're listening to the Ooze.
Looks like you got four big dicks in the room, so who's gonna fucking clap this shit down first?
Basically, and then focus on the problem at hand. You're not dealing with the emotion, you're dealing with the issue.
Wish I had some big long-winded speech to all packages up today for you gentlemen, but unfortunately I'm somewhat bankrupt.
Now onto our
Thanks for tuning in. I'm T.C. Downey, and with me on the line is Dark Fool. Dark Fool, how you doing today, my man?
Happy New Year. Hangover.
Happy New Year. Oh, yeah? I heard you guys had a good time last night.
Oh, shit. Yeah, we were hanging out on Satanic International Network, getting drunk. There were tits in the room. It was awesome.
All photos forwarded to my email address would be appreciated.
Okay. I hope someone took them. I didn't.
If someone didn't hit capture screen at least once, you're all a bunch of losers. No, I'm just kidding. What's going on,
yeah,
man? How was your New Year's Eve?
Oh, it was great, man. It was great. You know, aside from that, going on in the room, you know, watch the ball drop. Everything like that. And, yeah, I called, drunk and dialed a bunch of friends. You know how it goes.
Yeah, I know how it goes.
Yeah, Chicken Wing is probably pretty fucking pissed off at me right now.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
I got a little bit of drunk dial love myself last night. Jason Sorrell, Ego Diabolus, for those who don't know his real name, he called me a couple of times, you know, wished me a happy new year, tried to coerce me into joining you guys, but I was kind of tied up at the moment, so didn't kind of quite work out the way I wanted it to. But that's neither here nor there, you know, new year, new, you know, hopefully a new beginning for some people.
No, that's right, man. That's right, man. And new beginnings and new possibilities, new endeavors. I'm looking forward to 2011, man. This is going to be great.
Right.
Anyway.
Okay. Apparently, I think Zach wants to come on the air. So let me. What's up, Zach?
Hello, gentlemen. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, man.
Thank you. Thank you. I got to give mad props to Jason Sorrell right away because I came in the chat room like Apollo Creed with the, you know, confetti falling down, singing I'm the Real American, you know, thinking I'm going to drink everybody under the table, and apparently I got drunk and passed out, and I got my phone blown
up
by Matt and Jason.
Yeah. Oh, it was great, man. Like, somebody got on Manicam, and when you were passed out, they actually circled you and, like, drew an arrow, and they're like, Zach.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That person can go kill themselves.
Seriously.
Awesome. Hopefully somebody hit screen capture on that.
Sorry. Too many egos.
Yeah,
in the room. No pun intended.
Right on. So my New Year's was spent working my ass off. And I'm actually at work right now. For all you lucky fuckers who don't have to go to work today, some of us have to actually open up the places that you're shopping at and whatnot. So,
fuck that.
Fuck that. Yeah, that's pretty good right there. All right, so I'm thinking today's show is very appropriate because it's the
yes.
Perfect New Year's resolution. You know, for the people who are, you know, professional victims, you know, this is a point in time in which you can say, I will no longer be the victim. I will no longer be butthurt.
Right.
So with all that being said and done, Matt, I think you actually had a direction that you wanted this show to go in, right?
Oh, yeah, I always do. I always have kind of a direction, you know, that I want it to go in. But, you know, whichever direction it goes in, it goes in. And I like what you stated right there. It was very beautiful about making the resolution not to be the victim. And to build on that, shortly before I get into this, this is going to be the longest intro I've ever given, but we're kind of martyrs right now. Yeah. We're kind of martyrs right now, putting on a show on New Year's Day after sobering up and trying to get food in our stomach and, like, trying to, like, hold our own. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyways, but, yeah, the cause, it's worth the cause. Anyways, the direction I want to take this in, gentlemen, is there is a difference in the left-hand path between fighting for what it is that you believe in, you know, making a stand, and then, you know, putting yourself out there to be victimized. And I think, Zach, you can add to this a little bit, too. Like, you've had to deal with a few professional victims yourself recently, right?
Correct. And I've offered an olive branch to many of them, you know, as a New Year's resolution, you know, done with the pawning and done with the fucking drama, you know, and most of them have come back and told me to kill myself, so.
But yeah, that's the difference. That's the difference. Putting yourself out there, and you know, people set themselves up. And I've dealt with this all my life. I've dealt with people that do this a lot. And what they do is they pick fights, and then once you fight them back, then they say, "Oh, look at what he did," and then they turn around and turn that into like a victim. You know, it's straight up victimhood right there.
Correct. A lot of people are martyring themselves. For one reason or the other, you know, and it's like, you know, we all have big egos. We're all saying this, you know. Sometimes we don't get along. Sometimes things are misunderstood. We clash heads, whatever, you know. But, you know, it's a new year, you know. We should start fresh, you know, start, you know, a new page, whatever, you know. And I know this wasn't directed, but I'm going to steal your fire, Matt, is you know, we should just all just fucking start anew. So this is a new page, and, you know. And for me personally, Zach Black, I'm offering a branch to everybody. You know, everybody that's gotten butt hurt, everybody that has a disagreement, everybody that's been whatever outed or not outed, but you know, it's a new page, man. And you know, this is you know, me personally, I'm done with the pawning, I'm done with the clowning, I'm done with the crushing haters. I'm done. I got too much shit on my plate. I got too many irons in the fires. Whatever, you know. Yeah. Go ahead, Matt, though. Sorry. Don't get me started, man, because I will take over the show.
No, that's fine. But you know what, that's an excellent point. See, what you said right there about having your, you know, having your pokers in the fire, et cetera, having a lot of projects, that's what needs to be done, you know, instead of all the drama and concentrating on, like, who's banning who, who's poning who, you know, what did he or she say this week. You know, instead, why don't you try creating, you know, and standing up for what you believe and push things forward in the direction that you want it to go?
Well, you know, for sure, there's a lot of people, Starful, that, you know, it's easy to get on YouTube or wherever, whatever your media choice is, and talk a bunch of shit, you know. I mean, that's really easy to do that. It doesn't take a lot of effort. It just takes a lot of creativity to, you know, pawn somebody or to, you know, talk shit about somebody. But, you know, those of us that are trying to create something, are trying to move Satanism forward in our own way, whatever that is, you know, it gets to the point where it's not worth it anymore, because all you're doing is tarnishing your image. And these people, a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them are psychic vampires. You know, if you want to pull the Levian card, a lot of them are psychic vampires.
Oh, yeah.
And they're stealing our energy and creativity. They're stealing our efforts, and they're stealing our attention that can be directed in a much more productive fashion than making, you know, funny videos for people to chuckle on YouTube.
Absolutely.
Do we get a jinx? I think you owe me a Coke on that, man.
Well, Coke? Coca-Cola, I hope. I'm not sending my real code.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, that I don't like skiing down those kind of snow slopes anymore, man. It's dangerous territory for me. I'm already kind of a high strung character, so. I mean, that would be bad, dude. I wouldn't sleep for weeks.
Hey, I don't.
Man, that would not be bad. Or it would be bad. Yeah, well, whatever. Anyway, I'm curious now. Is there a point that you guys think that martyrdom is a good strategic move?
Oh, when absolutely.
It's not,
absolutely.
When do you think that...
I'm sorry, go ahead. Finish your question.
When do you think that would occur?
Well, when you are fighting for something you believe in and you get, you know, for every action there's an equal and or opposite reaction, you know. So you're going to have some opposing force say, no, I don't like the way you're doing it, or whatever it is you're doing. A time when martyrdom would be a strategic move would be like, look, there's no way out of this, but I believe, you know, like when you are backed into a corner and there's no way out of it. You know, but you still believe in what it is you're doing, and you're thinking of the long term. You're thinking of the future. That's when martyrdom would be a strategic move. You know, and this could be seen all over. I mean, it doesn't have to be satanic, but, you know, martyrdom in general, like Martin Luther King was fighting for what he believed in. He didn't put himself out there to be victimized. He put himself out there and put his ideas out there, and people followed suit. They followed behind him. So, yeah, I mean... When you believe in what it is you're doing so much, that's when martyrdom is just one of those things that's like, well, if it has to come to that, it has to come to that. If that's the road that needs to be taken, that's the road that needs to be taken. But it should
so,
never be, it's like at the very, very last resort, you know what I mean?
You know, Matt,
yeah.
I have to disagree with you, Matt. Sorry, Beast, I'm about a couple seconds behind you guys. I have to disagree with Matt because, I'm sorry, Dark Fool, because, you know what, man, I see martyrdom as a punk-ass move, man. I feel like, you know what, if you're wrong and you're painting yourself into a corner, regardless of why or how it happened, you know, if you're wrong, just openly come forward and say you're wrong, man, just to fucking, you know.
I didn't say anything about being wrong.
Well, that's true. I mean, yeah, well, I don't know. I think martyrdom is a punk-ass move. I just don't see a reason for it. I mean, I think the last person that did it was, you know, successfully was Jesus, and he got nailed with 9-inch nails. So, you know, I just
Jesus,
don't agree with it.
Jesus is the exact type of martyrdom that I disagree with. And that's the thing. Jesus is the exact type of, I mean, because he had a chance to run and, you know, take his crew out of there and, like, I mean, okay, running at that point sounds like a punk-ass move, but you know what? Sometimes you do things for survival. You know,
well,
and
preservation is different than martyrdom.
Exactly, exactly. And what he did was he stayed. I mean, yeah, he believed in the cause, but a lot of people were annoyed with the course of action that he took. You know, if you look at it mythically, because I look at the Bible mythically. I don't look at it as a real factual piece of
exactly, mostly
history.
Yeah.
But anyways, you know, people were, you know, the Jews were upset that their quote-unquote savior died, even though he was supposedly fulfilling a prophecy. You know, they were upset that, you know, because they wanted to see the temples stormed. They wanted to see, you know, more of the tables being turned over. They wanted more action. And what did he do? He just, he set himself up to be crucified. And that's the kind of martyrdom I'm completely against.
So what type of martyrdom are we actually talking about then? As you know, related to this BTR program, the show.
Sure. The type of martyrdom. See, that's well. I wanted to discuss pretty much all forms that comes to mind, but that specific type is the one I'm against, where you basically set yourself up to be a victim. But martyrdom, when you're fighting for a cause, is a lot different. You know, when you believe in something so much, you know, and you know you are in a position where they say, you know what, stop what you're doing or we're going to kill you. And you say, well, then fucking try your best. That's the martyrdom that I'm saying is for a good cause. And it should be used as a very, very absolute last resort. It shouldn't be something that somebody seeks out.
Well, you know, it's interesting you bring that up because, like, it kind of reflects on a different question about, like, you know, how open should you be about your Satanism? And me personally, I don't know about you guys, but you know, I don't like wearing a bullseye on my fucking forehead. You know, I did that for a couple years when I was a teenager, when I was like, you know, a 15-year-old emo fag, whatever. Oh, that's a fag. I mean, you know, fairy. I mean, fuck, whatever. It's not productive, man. All you're gonna do is you're gonna surround yourself with a bunch of haters. You're gonna get clobbered. You're gonna thrown in the cactus bush. I mean, it's just not. I don't know. I don't see any purpose in it, man. I think that we are best and most productive in the dark and elusive and slippery. And that's
right.
Kind of how I see it.
Right. And I understand that. Believe it or not, I actually do understand that. And I've argued this for a long time. I take the exact opposite stance because, look, people have to work, especially within the left-hand path, people have to work with their personal, you know, their personal nature. And they have to see how that nature relates to, like, the rest of nature. You know what I mean? So some people are better being, like, subversive about that. And I've said for a while now, I've said invisibility of the current is just as important as visibility of the current is just as important as invisibility of the current. And me, I take the exact opposite stance. Like, people at work know I'm a Satanist. And I don't care. I want that to be known.
Brave man.
Now I'm just curious because a little bit ago, Dark Fool actually painted a little bit of a picture when he started talking about being backed into a corner and basically you're done. You know, you got your choice to at that point fight or flight or be a mark, one or the other. Now my question is, isn't it strategically superior to try to take as many with you as you can on your way out versus just, just letting them go ahead and, you know, nail your ass to a tree or whatever?
That's an excellent question. And, are we dealing with the type of situation where it's a fight for a cause, it's a means to an end, or are we talking like a Jim Jones type of situation?
Probably like a Jim Jones type situation. I'm looking really at the extremes of it. I mean, it's real obvious and very much common sense when you're talking about things that are a little less trivial or a little less extenuating. So I like to look at the extreme scenario and from there try to decide what the conclusion of it would be.
Excellent. Well, yeah, when it comes to, like, a Jim Jones type of situation, I mean, in any situation, if you believe in something so much, follow it all the way. You know, go as far with it as you can. And sadly, in the case of Jim Jones, I would say, you know, at least Jim Jones, I mean, but that was kind of a coward's way out. I mean, depending on how you look at it, there's different ways of looking at it. I mean, trying to put myself in Jim Jones' shoes, that would have been a tough call. It's like, do I give up or do I keep going? I personally would have chosen death. I would have done the same thing. You know, but we're thinking rationally. We're thinking a bit more logically than most people.
Well, you know, Matt, that's an interesting point. Like, when it comes to, when you're talking about a Jim Jones type character, I mean, you're looking at somebody who's not probably really sane. So it's hard to use logic and reason to justify shit like that. Like, you know, I mean, I would like to think, you know, if I ever decide this world was just too much and I want to take the easy way out and just fucking off myself, I would be a mass murderer. I would walk into a fucking church and blow my fucking shit to kingdom come, you know, pun intended. And I don't know. Beast, what do you think?
You're looking for my personal strategy, myself, what I would have done in this situation?
Well, I would have done the Jim Jones thing, the cyanide punch. I mean, you know, I was actually not paying attention for about 10 seconds, 15 seconds, so sorry, guys.
No, the...
Happy New Year!
My thing would have not been, I wouldn't have given my guys the cyanide punch. I would have poured the cyanide in the water supply, if you understand what I'm saying. Let the outer world suffer while my guys are sipping, you know, the punch that'll keep them alive. You know, but that's, I guess, it's just a different strategy. You know, some people come to a point where they just feel that they're so overwhelmed, you know, that no choice that they make is going to give them any what sort of a better, you know, chance of survival. So they, you know, tend to try to remove themselves so that they don't have to accept the responsibility of what they're doing. And I think that's what this really comes down to, and why I believe that martyrdom has no place within the LHP. Because martyrdom is not allowing yourself to take the responsibility. It's taking the chicken's way out every time. You know the consequences are going to be too extreme. And so, you know, the quickest way to do it is to just take yourself out of the equation.
Right. But there's a big difference with that and with, fighting for a purpose and having somebody else do it, because, you know, when it's martyrdom, when it's self-martyrdom, when you do it to yourself, obviously, you know, the LHP is about the self. You know, we hold the self in high regard. So to completely annihilate the self would be completely counterproductive to what our goal was in the first place, or what our ideals are in the first place.
You know what I mean? Exactly. When are Satanists supposed to be nice people? When are we supposed to martyr ourselves? When are we supposed to get up and play the victim role? I think never. You know what? If you fuck up, if you make a stupid comment, God knows I've made many. You know, you deal with it. You either get up, throw your dukes up, fight it out, or you admit and say, hey, you know what? I was wrong. I fucked up. Forgive me. You know, it happens. I don't know. I see a lot of people in Satanism. I think this is back to, you know, the main focus of this program. You know, this is not my show. I think I'm a day late, but whatever. Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't agree with it. I don't like martyrs. I don't care if you're martyring yourself as a fucking, sorry, that's a martyr cycle. If you martyr yourself as a victim, if you martyr yourself as a fucking grand poobah, whatever. I don't agree with it, man. I don't agree with it. Stand up, put your dukes up, or sit the fuck down.
Exactly. And see, that's the other thing I wanted to mention, too, is that aside from what we know about what's going on in Satanism today, you know, well, with your little group, I've come across other, well, your little group, sorry, it's, how many members now, Zach? 3,000?
No, 30 million thousands.
30 million thousand. Kill yourself. No, seriously. No, okay. Anyways, no, with Satanic International, there's that kind of drama, but I've been around other e-groups, and I've kind of looked at what's going on, and there is a victim mentality in such that, they say, oh, the Christians are attacking us. The Christians are attacking us. And they're saying, like, send them your energies and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, send them your energies. This is victim mentality. This is Christianity in disguise. You know,
yes,
this is victimhood in disguise. And it's just been refurbished into Satanism. And I believe that kind of mentality has no place within Satanism.
Totally agree, man. That is a Christian tactic that does not belong on a left-hand path, and it is
absolutely
it is masked. It is masked. It is a fucking crutch that Christians use all the time, and that's no place in fucking Satanism. And I totally agree, Matt. Or Dark Pool, sorry. Or no, you didn't talk, Matt. It's whatever. Yeah.
Hey, you know what? It's at this point. Speaking of which, if I can go on a quick side tangent, it doesn't matter at this point, Matt. Dark Pool. I mean, we've gone through this discussion of titles several times, but anyways, back on course.
Yes, back on course. I will only be referred to as Grand Poobah Fancy Pants from here on out, please.
Okay.
All right. So,
what's your thought on that?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Beast.
Well, I was actually going to say, trying to get us back on the target here. I don't believe that you can actually refer to it as martyrdom when you manipulate the situation so somebody else is the fall guy. I would call that the Sly Man way.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
And I was hoping I was hoping you'd go in that direction. I want to hear more what you would, since you're more, I've read up on this recently, but you're obviously more experienced. I want to hear what a fourth way perspective, you know, a fourth way perspective on this.
Well, if I were to talk about a fourth way perspective, I would probably be going in an opposite direction of what I actually think in terms of what happens. I think the idea, the general idea of the fourth way as it's presented today is more of be at peace with nature thing. I just happen to have a kind of a little bit of a deranged view of it, in that I can see that there's a perspective there where you could actually use the system that Gurdjieff gave you for understanding how things happen to manipulate things to work to the betterment of yourself, and in doing so, you would actually maybe have to, you know, break a few eggs to make an omelet, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. Yeah, but see, that's not martyrdom. That's not martyrdom for you. That's setting somebody else up, and that's completely different.
Right, you're making a path. That's what you're doing. It's different. That person is kind of like strawmanned into their martyrdom, if you will. It's not really martyrdom because they're, you know, the stage was set for them. They didn't really have a choice but to play. Play the part that they played. I think that that's more of what's happened with like MLK or Kennedy. You know, the stage was set for them. They had no idea. You know,
right. And even the terrorists, if you look at it, the terrorists who flew the planes into the buildings.
Right. Exactly.
9/11. Yeah.
Exactly. That's not really. I mean, my understanding of martyrdom is, you know, something that's self-imposed. It's not something that you open your eyes and realize you've just been completely backed into a corner.
Right, and that's the difference I wanted to bring up today. And I think we pretty much nailed that point, is that there is a huge difference between being a martyr, you know, being a victim, and that victim mentality, and... You know, the way the left-hand path should be. It should not have martyrdom in it whatsoever. And yet, we see it within the left-hand path, unfortunately. It's kind of crept its way in.
Right. Now, unfortunately, I would say that Nagashiba would probably disagree with us at this point. Just in getting to know him, he seems to think that there's some benefit to it. It's, sticking up for the little guy kind of mentality.
Well, you know, when it comes to Troll, I mean, I'd love to hear Troll call in, you know.
Yeah, he won't be here.
We should make it for a whole other talk show because that we should talk about the putification of left-hand path, as Jason King likes to refer to it, and myself. Naga, that's me kicking you to come and call in and upon us, or me.
Right. He sent me an email about 2 weeks ago saying he wouldn't be able to attend this show. So.
Oh, my bad.
Right. Yeah, so unfortunately, we won't have the opportunity, but maybe in the future we'll do a highlight edition specifically on him and
for
you
sure.
Know, get to it there. Yeah.
For sure. No, I'm not gonna. No. Troll's persona is different than Naga Siva's, and I would much love to hear from Naga Siva.
Right on. So, with all that being said, can you guys, again, can you think of a point at which it might be strategically advantaged to play that card?
Well,
yeah,
if
you're a pussy and you can't admit defeat, yeah. That's the time when you should play that card.
You know, I will say that it is... Martyrdom and victimhood are very much manipulative tactics. And I think that they manipulative tactics work mostly in the short term, not so much the long term. You know, and like I said, I've come across countless people who've done this, who've set themselves up, have taken the punch, and have said, oh my goodness, did you see what he did? And it's a bullshit mentality, and yet people rally behind it. So I guess if you were to, like, if you were to set it up to where somebody would want to attack you, where it, they come up with their own idea, and then they attack you, and then you make yourself look like the victim and get people to your side, maybe, but it's a bitch move. And it's a move that I think devalues a person. Even though they get people behind them, I think in the long run, if they do it enough times, people are going to see them for what they are. You know, so
right,
that can only work so many times.
If I can interject
my theory
second.
Is this, man. If you're backed into a corner, right, you have the option of being a martyr. You know, you basically got two options. Well, three options. You can be the martyr, or you can come out guns blazing and just go down a blaze of glory, you know, like a fucking old school cowboy. Or you can admit and say, you know what, I was wrong, you know, kill myself.
And on that note, we have a caller on the line. Caller?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello. Hey, how are you?
Hey,
good
night.
How are you?
Hey, how's everybody doing? Yeah, it's Warlock Asylum. How's everybody? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, man.
Yeah, it's good to hear from you guys. I didn't know if you guys were going to be on today, you know, so I was just tuning in about the case of martyrdom and victimhood. It's interesting because in my understanding, you know, of like martyrdom, I'm not somewhat sure if people have put themselves out to be a martyr. Or if they get into a situation where they, you know, let me see, I'm going to put this, where they're putting out, you know, what they believe in and it's getting some resistance, and then somewhere down the line they find themselves backed up into a corner. You know what I mean? You know, now at that point they may have like a couple of people who might be following them or whatever, and something could happen to them tragically, you know. History, what they would do, maybe some of the powers that would be from what I've seen, is that they would take that person's image and then present a watered-down version of that movement or whatever the case may be. I guess like in the past 20 years or whatever, I would say specifically in the past like 10 years with the surges of sci-fi films and stuff like that, we seem like a research interest in the occult and a lot of left-hand path groups and organizations. Some of them are based, to me personally, on right-hand path religions, you know, and I think that question may come up now because of that reason, you know. I don't think that those things have a place in the right-hand path, you know, martyrdom or victimhood, especially victimhood in any result. If a person's wrong about an issue or point or whatever, you know, to me.
Thank you, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think that a person should just commit that. You know what I mean? Someone, if they're wrong about something, I don't think that necessarily makes them a victim. Sometimes that could be a strength, you know, of admitting where they're wrong at, and people can see that and say, like, well, this person really is sincere, you know, and whatever it is that they're doing. Because it's all about discovering one's best means to evolve into their own godhood. This is what I thought the existence of the left-hand path was about, per se. But I think because of the because a lot of the so-called left-hand path groups now style themselves after right-hand path religions, issues like that may come up from time to time. You know.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of how I kind of perceive that when I think of like magicians, like Levi, and then there was this other guy years ago, maybe somebody could help refresh my memory, where he was, it was an astrologer. I think it was an astrologer. He had some issue years ago with the Catholic
Mather?
Churches.
No,
it was like in the mid Middle Ages. And I think Catholic
Nostradamus.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, there
and
we go. Okay.
Yeah, and then later on, although he didn't believe in what the church was, you know, promote him to do, I think they exiled him to live into a house by himself for the rest of his life. You know, like, people can say, well, was he a martyr or a victim? I just think he just was just trying to live out what he believed in, you know.
Well, you know, it's interesting. People martyrs don't necessarily martyr themselves. Sometimes people, you know, martyr them for them. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes
yeah.
it's, hey, it's, your followers will martyr you.
Yeah.
Right. And there's a difference between like self-martyrdom and then just like becoming a martyr and being martyred, you know?
To me, I kind of see it too as well. I think a lot of people, what they do is when the person, you know, passes, it's advantageous for some people who may not really understand what this person was about, but can make some profit to set them up as a martyr for, like, the naive, you know, to join their organization or whatever. Because left-hand path, I definitely not see the victimhood of martyrdom coming into that at all. You know, but I think with the commercialization of those pathways, people have been prompting other people and putting them out there as, like, martyrs. You know what I'm saying? You know, like, you know, this person was a martyr, you know, he died because of such and such a reason, different things of that nature, you know. So, yeah, that's just pretty much what my thoughts were as regards to that concern was. I'm not sure how, like, when you're saying martyrdom and left-hand path, I'm just trying to get... I can't really think of too many clear examples of a real left-hand path and victimhood, you know.
Right on. Well, yeah. I would actually completely and totally agree with you on that, and that was my contention. And I believe it's actually been the same consistently on air here, so all three of us also share that opinion. It doesn't have a place within the LHP.
Yeah, I can't really see that too much. I just think that, like, I mean, there have been times, like, I've been wrong in debates and things of that nature, and, you know, sometimes I come back and say, hey, I was wrong about this point. Or maybe the person, I just don't agree with it, but, hey, you know, like, everyone's entitled to their own opinion sort of thing, you know what I mean? You know, but to play the role of a victim, you know, like, oh, everybody's beating up on me. Like, I think you guys know what I represent, you know. So, like, I could say, like, oh, you know, everybody's beating up on me, you know, because they're beating up on the gay world and saying, like, it would be stupid to come out like that, you know. Or maybe, you know, people involved in other aspects of the occult, Satanism, things of that nature. I definitely see no place for that, you know what I'm saying? You know, I definitely see no place for that, man. So I just wanted to add on. But I'm enjoying the show. It's great. Yeah, it's really good. Yeah.
So, thanks for your contribution.
Yeah, and I'll be staying listening. But have a great new year, and I look forward to hearing more good stuff.
You too, man.
Sounds good.
Okay,
later,
take
man.
Care. All right, bye.
Now, you know what? As Warlock was talking, I thought of another point that I wanted to discuss. Anton LaVey, he often brought up a dichotomy within Satanism of sadists and masochists. You know, when it comes to the carnality and it comes to the flesh and different approaches within that. And obviously, martyrdom would fall under the masochists. And I guess in some ways what Warlock might have been alluding to, maybe unintentionally, was that it can be useful if you're like a masochist, if you go out there and you put yourself out. And that might be useful, but... You know, masochists often fall under the right-hand path religions.
Right, I agree with that. Unless it's masochism for pleasure, and then that's, I guess that's a little bit of a different story. But if it's masochism for, the gratification of something outside of yourself, I suppose then that would classify it more as RHP. But I'm just kind of rambling, man. This is what happens when you had alcohol and zero sleep.
That's why, man. See, I knew this would happen on the show.
Yeah, but that's okay because my, the audience is used to our bumbling around anyway, so it's okay. But we've got about 20 minutes left in the first hour, and I'm trying to decide, because I now have the ability to extend the show an additional hour if necessary. But what I'm trying to actually decide here is, if we want to take a look more specifically at the victim mentality. I mean, at this point, we've talked about its correlation to martyrdom itself. but there are other aspects of the victim mentality, I think. You know, aspects that are specifically attention-driven.
Absolutely, man. Go for it. I share.
Well, my thoughts are, you know, just let me collect them here real quick so I'm not stumbling all over myself.
Go for it.
That is some wicked wind, man.
By the way, guys, sorry about the background sounds. I'm like two blocks from the beach. It's a heavy traffic out here, but I wanted to call in.
Right. Oh, no, that's good, man. I mean, it's not a problem at all. It just caught me on that one. I was, like, trying to construct a thought, and it just, like, got blown away. So if you see my thought, if you'll catch it and just put it back in the phone, that would be awesome.
Hey, I got it. I caught it. It's right here. It's, we were discussing more of the mentality of, or the characteristics of the martyr, the characteristics of the victim mentality.
Right. Well, there's two different words. So there's obviously somewhere along the line, there's a hard-pressed line between what they are. Because, you know, they wouldn't be referred to as a martyr. They would be referred to as a victim, and vice versa, if there wasn't a hard-pressed line between them. So I guess what I was kind of saying, I can think that a martyr is not necessarily putting themselves out there for personal attention. It's more attention is something that's higher outside of themselves, whereas a victim is always going to put themselves out there for personal attention. It's a type of gratification. It's one of those kids that never figured out that negative attention isn't good attention. Like my son being 4 years old, he's actually developing an understanding that negative attention is not the kind of attention that he wants to attain. Positive attention is instead. But there are some people that never grow out of needing any kind of attention, whether it's positive or negative. They just have to always have the attention on them. And I think that's what really makes them a victim versus what makes them a martyr. The martyr usually is championing or trying to champion some cause that they feel is greater than themselves, where I would see a victim as being somebody whose only cause is themselves.
Right. No, that's a good definition, man. I agree with that, man. I mean, you know, a martyr might possibly just be delusional in a sense where he feels that his life is worth less than the ideal or philosophy or whatever he's trying to promote and has decided to sacrifice his life as the ultimate, you know, martyrdom. To promote this philosophy, and I don't know, I still think they're flawed, but whatever. You know, but your definition, I think, is key, is right on target.
Yeah, I think you struck at the heart, you know, and the root of the entire topic, Beast. I think you nailed it right there.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping that I had pigeonholed it. Because, like I said, again, it seems to be a hard line, but it seems like people, they become delusional in thinking that their own victimization is some form of martyrdom, if that makes any kind of sense there.
Yeah, it does. Totally does.
Absolutely, and we know from experience several people, am I right, Zach, who constantly need the attention, whether it's positive or negative?
Did we lose him? Yeah, we lost.
I think we lost him.
Yeah, we lost him. He fell off. I'm sure he'll be back in just a minute. But yeah, there are multiple people out there that do that, and I see that. I see this thing reoccurring even amongst people that I consider to be intellectually capable of separating themselves from the need of that kind of
right
attention.
And,
right, yeah. Well, we're not going to drop any names on the air, but yeah, obviously there are key people within the occult, within Satanism, that have done that, that have gone out for attention for that very reason, you know. And but the what you always have to keep in mind is why you are doing it. You know, is this a means to an end? You know, and is this productive?
Right, right. Even if it is a means to an end, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's the most strategically advantaged means
right.
to an end.
Absolutely,
so.
Yeah. But, yeah, it should never end like, you know, like I said, it should never, in my opinion, it should never be used, it should never be utilized unless there's absolutely no other way out.
Sure, but I think as creative as man is, there's always another
Absolutely.
Door. It just if it comes to a point where you feel like you have to martyr yourself, that probably means that you're championing the wrong cause. So, you know, that's my two cents on it.
Now, while we got, it's a good thing we got like what, about 15 minutes left of the show?
Actually, we got about 43.
43. Oh, dude, you extended it. Okay, good. You know, here's the thing. When it comes to, I want to talk about the causes. What possible causes could there be within the left-hand path to fight for?
Honestly, I would say the first and foremost thing that should be fought for is your acceptance of your acceptance as an individual without having to prove yourself over and over as worthy of being considered an individual. I think that a lot of times people are pigeonholed or strawmanned. You know, and again, I don't think that this is something you should be a victim about, but rather, you know, struggle, fight to make yourself noticeably different. So I think that would be one thing, is creating, you know, a pure sense of individuality. I'm willing to hear other...
Well, okay, I'm also keeping my ears open too. So I mean, I'm not, you know, blabbing and trying to take up airtime, and yet here I am meandering. So anyways, let's see, other causes within the left-hand path. That would be definitely number one, individualism, and expressing yourself as an individual and expressing your own individual opinions. Now, what about, you know, and a lot of people, like, they say they're, you know, I see quite a few people on the YouTube scene that make video after video about Christians attacking them or whatever, and they're standing up for pagan community, they're standing up for satanic rites, they're standing up for, you know, whatever. Now, Satanism as, I mean, not individual like the one person, but fighting for Satanism as a whole, as a movement. So, I mean, that's an interesting topic in and of itself, is Satanism as a movement versus just being the casual Joe Schmo Satanist.
Right, right. I certainly think that, I'm trying to think of exactly how I want to phrase this, because I think that you're striking on something key here, but it needs to be defined a little clearer, because just, you know, standing out there waving the banner, I'm a Satanist, and saying, we are Satanists, hear us roar, is not productive to the movement. I think one of the things that is necessary is, you know, perpetuation of the understanding that this is a type of deprogramming, if you will, that makes sense. People come into Satanism, it's usually they come in into the reactionary phase, and there are those
right.
that don't
you know, ever leave that. And I'm not really trying to knock dumb people, because I understand that it, where to go from there is difficult.
Right. And you know what? Reactionary phase is somewhat tied in with victimization.
Yes. Yes. That's definitely key. Let me, I'm going to throw Zach back on the line here.
Okay.
All right. Zach, you there?
Welcome back.
Kill yourself. You ain't about me, but you know who I am. I'm a Satanic National Superstar.
Welcome back, man.
Right on. Welcome back.
No, you know what? I wanted to add to this. Sorry, I was talking to myself because I wasn't on actually online. But, you know, I think there's two objectives in Left Hand Path. This is my own take. I would think that personal liberation, personal self-gratification is the main aim. And the second should be the diabolical infestation of the human race to promote our satanic ideals and philosophy forward. Other than that, man, you know, it's an open game.
Right, and see, that's what I was talking about. Actually, you know what, Beasts, Zach nailed it with his terminology. He really did. The diabolical manifestation, you know, within the world, that is Satanism as a whole and as a movement.
Right, right. But I mean, the terminology makes perfect sense to us, because we're all interacting with this in very... very active, so to speak, on the scene as it is. When I was stating that I needed more clarification, I was talking about, you know, what exactly is the diabolic manifestation? I mean, you can say, oh, the,
okay,
you know, the perpetuation of evil, or, you know, promoting certain concepts like indulgence responsibly and, you know, in place of ignorant abstinence. You know, those kind of...
All the above. I mean, diabolical infestation is basically just promoting Satanism into, you know, philosophy, which, if you look at it, it already is. If you look at the way people have changed since, say, the 50s, well, let's just say the 60s even, you know, when Anton LaVey declared it was the age of fire in 66, I mean, look at how much society has changed. Now we have Christians that just go forward and just simply believe, okay, well, I'm going to call myself a Christian. I'm going to go to church on Christmas Mass, and my soul is saved, and I'm part of heaven. Fuck you. But, you know, that is an obvious indication that Satanism has conquered or at least infiltrated society as a whole, because now it's hard to find a Christian that's a traditional Christian anymore. You know, there's very few people that actually... you know, I don't have premarital sex. You know, there's a lot, I mean, there's a million examples I could use, but, you know, for sake of time, I'm not. But, you know, I mean, Satanism has infiltrated the media. This is a whole other fucking show, so.
Right on. Let me, we have another caller on air. Let me go ahead and bring him on. Caller?
Can we call Jason King, by the way, please? Let's get
we'll get to that. 615 area code.
That's not him, bud.
Hello.
Hey. Hello.
What's up? Huh? Yes.
What?
Hey, boo.
Hello, Miss Bad.
I wanted to actually say that a great example actually would be that right there. If I started crying because I had done that last night, they're being mean to me because I showed my boobs to them. That's an example of going for a victim mentality and martyrdom. I did it. I'm okay with it. I'm moving on. See?
Right.
I was passed out. I do remember your boobs, boo. They were burned in my brain. As a good thing.
Yes.
I don't remember you martyring yourself over them, but I was trying.
Yes, well, either way, that would have been quite a show, but you can all catch it on Satanic International Network.
Network.
So, boo-boo, kill myself. I don't know what I'm talking about. Sorry, guys.
Well, I want to say that beyond, you know, just having... you know, showing your boobs and but being okay with it now rather than, you know, taking, you know, the butthurt route about it. I think that you could even go a step further and continuously do that, and that to me is very satanic in premise. You know, because it's not only being okay with it, but it's, you know, continuing it because it's an expression of yourself.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
Well, I'm going to only do on a subcategory to talk about the word ghosts. We have about 30 minutes left. You know, let's put somebody like, say, John Ali or Paul Valentine, right? Here's people that have prospered of basically clowning and pawning and spreading lies and disinformation down at the Latin Church of Satan. Now, they do this not because they really believe this, but because they're trying to promote themselves as the real Church of Satan, or the first Church of Satan, or the modern Church of Satan, or whatever the fuck is, you know, they name it. These are the types of clowns that I don't like. It's the exact reason I got on YouTube. Was I went out and bought myself a $100 camera. I just originally got on YouTube because I like to watch people getting kicked in the nuts, and I was drunk, and I thought it was funk. And then I'm like, okay, Satanism, and then I came up with Jason King, Venus Tannis, Paul Valentine, and I had an issue with Paul Valentine. These types of people, you know, like Paul, for instance, will pick fights with other Satanists on YouTube, and then he'll come back and say, you know, he'll fucking poke you. He'll poke you on your videos and say, you're a sheep of the Church of Satan, which is what he continually called me, and after about 10 times he's called me a sheep of the Church of Satan. I finally said, okay, fuck you. And then when I said, fuck you, Paul, he came back on his blog talk radio show and said, hey, look, the Church of Satan hates me. I'm a satanic international superstar. Kill yourself. You know, and these are the types of fucking ass clowns that I don't like. And Paul, if you're listening or you catch wind of this, call in. Get on the air so I can hang your ass.
Yes, get on the air so we can make you a victim. Which is what you want.
Yes.
Can you catch the sarcasm in my voice?
I think I would willingly martyr him. Yeah.
Well,
Paul,
here's the deal.
Here's
the deal. Paul Valentine stopped when we forgot about him. He shriveled up like a prune in the sun.
Now he makes videos on YouTube about his tomato plants. That's it.
Exactly. But see, but if he does catch wind of this show, he could easily come back and come back 10 times more stronger because of what we had talked about earlier about giving them any kind of attention. Because they need any kind.
Right.
Well, you know, when you don't have something to bring to the fucking table, that's all you can do. When you don't have any original ideal or content or creativity, all you can really do is step up and just martyr yourself, pick fights, play the victim, whatever, you know, and that's kind of what you see with Paul Valentine. And Paul Valentine is, although I hate to admit it, he is an icon in Satanism. Because he picked the right place at the right time, whatever. But, you know, and I like him to get on the show and address himself so he can defend himself. You know, yeah, because his neighbor outed him as a fucking loser. Let's see if he can come back and prove himself not.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. It's about manipulation and control. And I doubt he'll come onto the show because he wants us to come onto his show because it's promotion for him. It's a total psychic vampire trait. And
totally.
You know, we'll be and he can kick us out at any time and give any reason he wants to and spin it to his purpose right there on his channel because he controls it all. But if he came onto somebody else's channel, he doesn't have the control, and therefore his manipulation is not as strong.
Matt, you know this as well as I because you and I have followed Paul Valentine and have clowned his ass and put the nails in his fucking coffin on YouTube. But, you know, you're exactly right, he needs that control. I would like to see him come up and step forward as a man and not just a fucking, I'm Satanic International Network. I'm sorry, I am Satanic International Superstar. He is the International Satanic Superstar. Yeah. I'd like to see the International Satanic Superstar get up, defend himself, and we'll see. I'll call into his Blog Talk Radio show. I know you will, Matt. You've already done it. I've done it. You know?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not going to do it anymore. No, fuck that. I'm done giving him any form of control.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
That's why he makes videos of his tomato plants.
Here's the thing, though, and I think this is interesting. Jason Sorrell makes this analogy quite often about if you kick a dog,
dog, it'll bark.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that that's spot on for what we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of actually how to relay what the analogy means without getting into some long-winded diatribe like Jason King style.
You know what? Speaking of which, that's the thing, is that people react. People are very much, the majority are reactionary, and a lot of people within the, say, ideally, people within the left-hand path should be actionary, not reactionary. So I think that's
right.
The main difference right there, is that when people see somebody getting kicked, and they see the reaction, you know, the dog getting barked, New Year's fucking booze, the dog barking, you know, they react to that, and then the headlines fly like, oh, did you hear how loud the dog barked? And, oh, my goodness, it was all over the news. Did you hear that? Did you see that? And they want you to react. But the truth is, the reaction is what is causing the stirrup, and that's where the psychic vampires know that very well. And they utilize that to their short-term advantage.
Can we take advantage of Bizino's
I think it's introduction time.
Let's make a phone call. That's what I'm trying to say. Let's call Jason King.
All right. I'm actually in my contacts right now, trying to find his phone number. So hang on.
Oh boy.
Okay. So, Matt, I'm sorry, Dartful.
I guess
we'll talk in the third song. All right. You know what, man? Paul Valentine has had how many fucking chances to just... I don't know about you, man, but I've buried the hatchet with that motherfucker several times, and he always comes back because, you know what? He gets lonely in his little corner of YouTube. So he'll come back, and even when I'm his friend and I support him, or, you know, at least outwardly, or, you know, from public perspective I do, he'll come back and he'll just start shit with me.
It's not gonna work.
Okay, King knew we were on the air, and he put his fucking phone off the hook.
I think he doesn't want, because I talked to him last night briefly. maybe it was more like I talked at him.
Right.
Yeah.
Let me just throw this out here, because the King has been absent from the airwaves of the Ooze for a little bit of time here, so I'm going to reissue my call out, and I'm going to call Chicken Wings out. I'm calling
the
show.
You have to understand the King. You need, I mean, he calls himself Jason King for a reason. You need to play the bugler, and Doves need to fly out and shit, and you need to go, here comes Jason King, roll up the red carpet, and the King will come out from the courtyard and play with the gestures. Pun intended, Matt Fool. The Dark Fool. Matt Fool.
Matt Fool. Matt Fool, motherfucker.
Idiot Negro.
So, coming back into full swing here and trying to get back at this, one of the reasons why I was trying to articulate the reactionary versus, maybe some more advanced movement, because at the reactionary stage, I tend to personally believe that you're left as kind of a victim. If you don't take the steps to move past reactionary, the reactionary mentality, and, you know, work on developing the individual versus working on destroying, you know, the oppression, so to speak. I mean, one of the things that I thought was really kind of funny, Matt, and I'm not going to poke at you too hard on this, but during the period of time in which you were, pushing the whole unification and the LHP thing.
Oh, yeah.
The thing that kind of cracked me up about that is, by all rights, what you're doing is the same thing that you're protesting against with PDV. By being reactionary, you are, in a sense, playing a victim and, screaming for attention not only from people
who would you would call your would-be peers, but also from the crowd that you just left, if you know what I'm saying.
No, I absolutely do know what you're saying. And here's the thing. At that specific time, here's the other thing that a lot of people have to consider. At that time when I had made those videos, it was on a couple people's minds. They just didn't have the nerve to ask it because they didn't want to get pwned. They didn't want to get into these, you know, crushing hater videos, into like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Have everybody come down on you. That's part of the reason why I love the fucking Image of the Fools, because I could go anywhere with it. You know what I mean? It's like, here I am. I can ask these questions because certain people already say, oh, my God, look, he is a fool. What the fuck? You know? So
right.
I asked, and it was specifically, it was on Venger Satanis' mind as well. So I spoke up for a few other people, and then people came out of the woodwork and gave their 2 cents, and I was like, whoa, who are you, you know?
Right, right. No, I wasn't necessarily trying to, say you were wrong or anything, but I was explaining why I myself didn't step behind that current.
Oh, no, I totally understand. In fact, I didn't expect people to, like, rally behind. I expected more of a backlash, and I did. I got it. I got a lot of it.
Yeah, you got a handful of it, didn't you?
Right.
You know what I'd like
to call
in, man? It's a few people.
A phone call? Okay.
Okay.
It says that in the air, but I mean in the chat room, but I'm not seeing a number on the switchboard yet, so let's just chill out there. There's a certain point, I think, in which you can kind of say that without actually stating or screaming unity among Satanists, if you just give a platform that allows for them to come together, much like Satanic International Network is, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, this is, in my eyes, a much better deal. I remember you and I having a private phone conversation during the period in time that whole thing was a big hot issue. And one of the things, if you remember, I said was that Satanism is one of those deals where as long as you don't say unity, everybody will be unified. The second you say unity, they scatter like cockroaches.
Exactly. Yeah, it's funny because, I mean, and the other thing that you mentioned in that same phone call was how funny it was that people came to get, like, on the topic of satanic unity, everybody got together and unified to say that we don't want satanic unity.
Yep, absolutely.
It's like the Church of Satan calling themselves a church and calling themselves a collective organization of non-joiners. Bueller, what's that mean?
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. We do have another caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Madam 2010.
Hey, Madam.
Oh, hey, what's going on?
All right, hey. How's it going?
Is this a
good then? You were a valuable contribution. I decided to leave, but I'm glad you're calling in to view.
That's great. I'm calling in from Britain, so I'm going to have to make this a short call because it's it.
Is
it
Snargargle?
Sorry?
Is it Snargargle?
No, this is Mabon.
It's Mabon.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Yeah, it's going to have to be a short call because it's expensive ringing over in the USA. What I'd just add my sort of bit to this debate, I think that if you are a fighter for anything that you believe in, could be anything, you would not be a victim.
Absolutely.
Right on.
I agree.
I think those who play victim are the losers in life, and you have to be a winner. You're going to have to fight. You have to fight for everything. It's a fact of life that we have to fight to survive. It's just the way of things in the universe.
Right. I understand you have to fight for victims, but I can't remember
top of my head, but one of the lines I remember is just, my head is bloody, but I'm bound. You know, and as soon as you start making any headway, as soon as you start to take pride in what you're doing, there are going to be haters to jump out of the woodwork to say you're wrong. Fuck you, you're wrong. You suck. You know, and you just have to, you know, you got to take those punches and you got to keep pushing forward.
Exactly. That's one of the reasons I brought up the topic.
Okay, man, I will start now. I know you're paying a fancy penny for whatever it's called out there.
I think if you are a winner and you do make it up there to the top, there are always going to be people looking up at you, and they're all going to be trying to pull you down. You're always going to get those haters, and the only way you can deal with those kind of people is ignore them.
Right, or actually I have an even better solution when it comes to dealing with them, but I won't waste your time talking about it at this moment. So.
Okay.
Let's just say that I personally really like the idea of the old school rope-a-dope, you know?
Uh-huh.
So, anyway, do you have further that you wanted to add?
No, that's it. Well, I just had my few small contributions, so I'll leave you to it. Nice speak
all
to
right,
you.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Call in, man.
Now, Beast, since you extended the show, could you go into a little more detail as to your method of dealing with those haters?
Well, yeah, absolutely. My method is usually to kind of let themselves, you know, pin themselves into a corner and be the martyr that they want to be, but they don't get the gratification that the thing comes along with it. I'm trying to think of a specific example of exactly how I could explain this, but if someone were to, for instance, let's take Zach's situation with his recent claims that he's a little bit of a homophobe, which we all know is absolute bullshit.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolute bullshit is what I meant to say. Excuse me.
Yeah, that's what I said. Absolute bullshit.
Right.
My card, the best card, when Zach finally played it at the end of it, with the whole deal, he put on a video in which he looked the part entirely. I mean, all the way, eyeliner, everything. Matter of fact, my girlfriend looked at me and said, damn, his eye makeup looks better than mine. You know,
yep.
And he totally just clowned that. And by clowning them, you know, there's no question left. Everybody realizes that they've climbed themselves up onto the cross and pounded the nails into the hands themselves. And that tends to be a little more productive than just ignoring it.
That goes along perfectly. And in fact, I live by that philosophy. There was a line in the song Dogma by KMFDM on their album Extort. And that line was, you know, we used to hate people, but now we just make fun of them. It's more effective that way.
Well, you know, it's hard to clown a clown. And that's kind of what I was looking at with some of my haters. You have, you know, when it goes to a level of 10 to 100 haters, now it's like, okay, you don't have the time to address individually. But, you know, it's hard to clown a clown. And if you wear your shortcomings on your sleeves, you know, what are you going to do? Okay, what are you going to do? You're going to call someone a drunk? You're going to say they're going bald? Okay, let's move past that.
Yeah.
Not well.
And my favorite was when Paul Valentine would call the dark fool a fool.
Fucking Michael Kino. You know, I mean.
Yeah, like I said, Zach, my favorite was when Paul Valentine would call the dark fool a fool. It's like, ow, that hurt.
Right, yeah. I mean, the whole deal there is definitely, and I've said that myself, you know, the way that I'm indestructible is I put all my shortcomings, all my flaws, all out in the fun, all in public, and, you know, it's no longer a matter of, you know, are they going to get picked at? I know they're going to get picked at. It's like going to get a tattoo. If you know it's going to hurt, you know, it's that much easier to get through it.
Well, you know, one of my favorite YouTubers, like I think his name's the Church of Dave.
Yeah.
I featured his video all weekend.
You know, that guy is, you know, a de facto Satanist. I've talked to him. He's not a real Satanist. He thinks Satanism is stupid because he doesn't take the time to read it because it's below him. He thinks, well, devil worshippers, whatever. But that guy has the exact right attitude. I told him. You know,
yes, he does.
You may not think you're a Satanist, but you really are. And he's like, kill yourself. No, but seriously.
But
yeah.
You know what, the funny
what
thing
to really.
Yeah, and if I may plug, I know you brought him up, Zach, but I will self proclaim this. I'm the Church of Dave's biggest fan. All right. And I gotta tell you, that video, Don't Let the Bastards Keep You Down. If anybody's listening to this, go watch that video. In fact, one of the things I've been trying to do is get Scary Dave of the Church of Dave as a guest, you know, to interview on the show.
Who's calling?
I'm calling Sorrell. I owe him a couple phone calls.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I hope he answers because he dragged me out of the table. I'll talk about it. After the phone, Danica Nashville Superstars are calling you.
Call failed.
Let's try one time.
I guess
I'm sorry, Matt. Paul Valentine didn't get phone bill. His phone's not disconnected. It says that, you know, user's not available. So apparently, he hasn't got enough to use DSL together with his 7 billion paid members or whatever. But, yeah. I got
Zach, I'm not sure if you know this, but from our end, you sound like you're on the every other word plan.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
I sound like what?
You sound like you're on the every other word plan. You know, let's break it up,
sorry.
That's all.
I'm about to be Swindy.
You should walk all around,
kill yourself.
Right, so why are you hanging out on the phone line with us, man?
Okay, well, let's get Ego or Jason or Paul Valentine, or I can call Tom Blackwood.
Tom Blackwood. I would have to extend the show again for that. And, I think we're going to have a special prank edition coming sometime soon.
Yes. We got to compile these phone numbers.
Right, yeah. Really, honestly, it's a new feature. I haven't quite decided exactly the tortures that I want to extract on it. I know that Westboro is definitely on my list.
Yeah,
awesome.
I'm also thinking that perhaps a certain Little Caesars pizza in downtown Clearwater, they would definitely be on my list as well. But,
dude, I remember back in the day when Little Caesars was good. Now they're just ghetto pizza, dude.
Oh,
yeah,
it's a $5 pizza,
are.
Man. That's why.
No. There was, when I lived in Boston, man, there was this one restaurant called Little Stevie's. You want to talk about ghetto pizza? Man, like, they got shut down several times for health violations. Not even funny.
Right on. Actually, my deal is this particular Little Caesars pizza, every time they would deliver to my house, they would fuck the pizza up. I swear it was a personal thing. I mean, it went on for a good 7-8 years. Every time I gave in and said, okay, we'll order Little Caesars because that's what everybody wanted. You know, as sure as shit, that all the pizzas would be right except for my pizza.
Well, what the fuck?
Exactly.
Well, did you not tip the guy? Well, what'd you do?
No, I'm an excellent tipper, man. You can expect 5 to 10 from me every time.
Yeah, same here.
5 to 10 bucks, depending on how much the pizza was. If it's $30 pizza order, you're getting 10. I really honestly don't know. I think the guy who managed the place may have been somebody that I went to high school with that was still a little butthurt. I'm not really sure, because I would call in and complain, you know, hey, you know, what's this? I ordered, you know, a deep dish pizza, and you send me this thin crust. You know, I want mushrooms and onions, and here it's anchovies and pickles or whatever. You know, can you guys cut me a break and just bring me out my pizza again? And then the answer is always sure, but pizza, you know, pizza still shows up messed up. So,
well, I don't know about you gentlemen, but I'm sold. Let's hit them.
Right on.
Kelly. Hello?
Hey. Right. Hey, go ahead and talk for a second, guys. I got to interact here real quick.
Okay.
Matt, am I on the air or not?
You are on the air.
Jesus Christ. Where's Ego Diablo? See him in the chat room. Ego. Jason, call in.
All right.
Okay, I'm here. So what are we talking about?
When you were gone, Beast, we covered a lot of ground. We figured out the mysteries of the universe. Zach actually figured it out. I was close.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Looks like
you missed it. You missed it.
Looks like Jason Sorrell is actually just now showing up in the chat room, I see.
I see that. I'm asking him to call.
Eggs and bacon.
Oh, I'll dial out again. I don't have a problem with that. We'll get him one way or the other. I owe him a phone call or two anyway.
Right on. Well, cool. Gentlemen, well, I know Jason lives in, Matt and all of us live in somewhat subtropical climates. But fuck you guys. I'm at the beach and I'm watching chicks. I call them bibs. BIB stands for Babes in Bikinis Rollerblading Down the Beach. Are you jealous? Kill yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, you got me.
Where's Jason? Jason. Ego. All right. Here we're calling somebody. Chicken wings or Ego?
Yeah.
How about an Ego filled with chicken wings?
Hey, this is 512-696-666. Please
kill yourself, Ego.
He's on the air. Hold on. There we go.
Oh.
Jason.
What's going on?
Oh, there you are.
What's up, Jason?
What's going on, man?
This is the one man who drank me under the table.
Yep. He had a great time last night.
Not everybody all at once.
Good time last night.
That was a good time, man. I heard there were boobs and stuff
yep.
going on. You know, fuck you guys. Pay yourself.
That's awesome. So, yeah,
so
I just figured I owed you a couple phone.
What do you have to add?
Man.
Let's bring some insight and intellectualism back into this conversation that just, you know, ran itself into kill yourself. What do you got to add, man, to the martyrdom? Bueller?
Are you talking to me, dude?
Yeah, no, the other Jason. Yeah.
What do I got to add about the whole victim mentality, the whole martyrdom, the self anguish and everything else that people seem? I mean, there's a certain amount of drama that seems to be people feed on it, and it's never good enough. It's never, you know, it's whatever their situation in life is, it's never good enough. And they always have something to pitch about. And I hate dealing with people like that. So I tend to just cross those folks out of my life.
Well, you know what, man? An interesting point is people like the drama, too. People feed into it, and you have cheerleaders on each side, right? Regardless of what side you're on, you'll have a clusterfuck of fans. And, you know, Point and Take is my last BTR that I did on my own BTR instead of yours was
I got set like either, it was either 72 or exactly the number, but it was 70 something, which was like tripled, you know, my, almost tripled my, you know, largest or most listened to blog radio show. And it was a fucking ridiculous blog talk radio show. I mean, it had no merit. It had really no substance other than me just sitting there making a fucking drunk fool of myself. And everybody, you know, it just shows you how much people do this, how much people like this and feed into it, man. It was ridiculous, I mean, you know.
Right on.
Yep.
So, sounds like Jason's Jason. Struggling this morning.
Jason, I can't see you. Are you still glowing over there?
Am I still what?
Glowing.
Yeah, I don't understand what you're saying. I'm having a little trouble hearing on my end.
Oh. Are you still glowing?
Am I still glowing? No, I think the light's pretty dim over here, man.
So, Jason, although you did drink near the table, how do you feel? What time did you get up? I got up at 5 a.m., and I felt okay.
Did Zach just say he wants to do that shit again?
Yes.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah,
well,
I do it
every night, gentlemen. So.
We'll see about New Year's Eve 2012, you know, 2011. You know, we'll see about it then.
Right on. Right on. This
so,
time
yeah,
you might actually... Go ahead.
Go ahead. Too many egos in the fucking room.
I was just going to say, this time Jason might actually bring his game instead of just, you know, fooling around on you.
I've said there's like three or four people that I would, like, if I, these slippers of the plate to clown me, I would probably just have to pull Grand Poobah status and just fucking kick him out. But then, Ego Diablos, Dowie Girl, Jason King, and Beast Zeno, those four are the ones that, you know, I would not want to score off with in an intellectual or verbal word soup, you know.
Right on. Well, luckily we all like you, huh?
Yeah, I'm trying to keep it that way, you know.
Yeah, man. So, Jason earlier, I was kind of making a parallel to your kick the dog and it barks analogy with martyrdom or the victim mentality. You think that's fitting?
Yeah, I think that's fitting, especially when it's somebody who likes to play that role. When you call them out on it, they'll, you know, they want to let you know that they, you know, they're being treated unfairly, that it's not their fault, you know, it's the whole world's out against them to get them or whatever. I mean, what's that thing somebody likes to say a lot, that the universe is cock-blocking him, shit like that. You know, it's just get over that shit, you know. It's all you, it's all about your own decisions, your own choices. And I'm a big believer in that. Everything that goes on, you know, that you have, even the random shit that happens to you, you have a choice as to how you're going to deal with it afterwards. So, really, it all comes down to what are you going to do about it.
Right. Absolutely. I think that's probably a very strong distinction of why it's inappropriate within the LHP mentality. Yeah, the victim mentality, that is.
Well, yeah, because what does it say about somebody who, you know, is trying to be a magician, who's trying to manifest their own will, who's, you know, trying to, you know, reforge their own reality when all this random shit just happens to them and it's always whatever else is going on. They don't fucking, they don't take ownership of anything in their lives. You know, that's where you spend square one right there. You start by taking ownership of your own life and your own situation and then move forward. Otherwise, all this bullshit that you're talking about, the left-hand path, is worthless.
Right on. Right on. One more thing I'm thinking of. Earlier, we were discussing that martyrdom had to be something that was self-imposed, that if somebody, you know, made somebody else the martyr, then it was not really them... And not really martyrdom, but more making them a patsy, so to speak. And to get to the short of this, Doug Fool made the inquiry as to, what the fourth way view would be on manipulating a situation like that. And I really didn't have a solid answer. So as a fellow fourth way student, what do you think?
As far as martyrdom, well, I'm going to begin with martyrdom. True martyrdom is always, it's pragmatic. You're always doing something for yourself. Even if you're, whether you're sacrificing money, time, or your actual life or whatever, you know what you're getting into, and you're going for a bigger reward. I mean, look at the greatest martyr in history, I guess, if you want to, look at mythology and everything else, Jesus Christ. The story of Jesus, he knew what he was getting into when they tacked him to the cross. He knew this was the process he had to go through, and he was expecting a bigger reward. So it wasn't like he was really giving up anything, if you think about it, because he knew what he was getting into. From the fourth way perspective, it just suggests that, in my opinion, it's a delusional thinking. It's false to fabricate this martyrdom situation. Instead, you should be living, for yourself and trying to do what you can to improve yourself. You don't grow by sacrificing yourself for a cause.
Right. Would you say that you...
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Guys, can we get Chicken Wings on the line? Can we call him one more time? Do we have enough time left?
I've got the time left. I mean, if everybody's good with that, I'll do that.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I the asshole to cut in the middle of this and just, suggest something at random? Sorry, I'm looking at chicken thongs. Sorry, guys.
That's all right. Real quick, I just wanted to actually finish up what I was talking about here with Jason. Now, what about actually manipulating a situation in which you construct a patsy to take on the what do you want to call it, the scapegoat? Do you think that there's a value to that in terms of fourth way?
Well, I don't think of it from a fourth way perspective that you can actually construct a patsy. All you can do is encourage a person to do whatever it is they're going to do. So if you've laid it out there, if you've given them the opportunity to do, whatever for their own benefit, and they refuse to do it, they refuse to continue to hook on to that victim mentality, well, then your only choice at that point is to just encourage them to take it to the absolute extreme so that maybe when they finally get bit in the ass by it, they'll see where they were wrong.
Right. Yeah, that makes good, solid sense. And with that being thrown out there, we'll go ahead and just bust Chicken Wings' his chops for a second. Let's get him on here.
Let's if he doesn't answer, let's leave a message, man, for him. But if you can, just send it so that we can leave a message for him on his voicemail.
All right, we'll do that. Dialing now.
No one is available to take your call. Please leave a message after the tone.
Tell yourself. Okay, here we go. Jason, get back on BTR, man. Where you been? You're chicken hot. Kill yourself.
All right. Okay, it's not letting me hang up. Well, this may all be recording on his answer machine now, because I don't... Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Cool.
Well, gentlemen, I'm going to do the BTR show on his
show on my end, but I'm dropping out, so I'll catch you guys later.
All right,
meet you later, guys.
Really later. All right. A very important question was asked in the chat room, and I'm going to go ahead and just kind of throw this out as to what the fourth way is. The fourth way is an esoteric system of self-understanding. It is a method to self-improvement, self-control. I'm trying to really think of how to break this down in just a couple seconds rather than trying to explain the whole book of Gurdjieff, but I would say it's just an esoteric school of thinking based largely off of Sufism, I think. There's also a good mixture of Western practicalities and Western thinking in there. And Buddhism, it takes some focus on magic and the esoteric understandings in magic. If I'm getting this all wrong, Jason, then feel free to type out the answer in the chat room. But this is, to me, what it is. It's a system of thinking, a way to reconstruct yourself. So, now, coming back around here, I keep extending this show, and I'm wondering how far away from the left-hand path, the martyrdom, we can go before... I just have to say we're not on topic anymore, and we're just sucking up airtime to be PDV Junior.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, with all that being said and done, is there really anything else either of you got? Oh, well, it looks like Zach's falling off. Is there anything else we want to cover or? Explain, talk about,
well,
anybody want to call in?
I think we hit on a lot of good points today. So, well, there was one I thought of earlier, but I would actually need Jason Sorrell here because I wanted to hear his answer, but that's okay. I think we pretty much covered everything.
Okay. I think what I'm actually going to do in the lineup coming here in the near future, we're going to do a show specifically on the fourth way, less
that's a good idea. Absolutely.
And, we'll get Jason Sorrell up on here. I'll try to coordinate with him, and hopefully we can get a real good explanation going, one where I'm not, like, fighting a couple bottles of champagne in my brain.
Right.
So,
I think we all faced that problem today, man. I mean,
yeah.
I was fortunate I didn't wake up with too bad of a hangover. And but yeah, I was like kind of munching on stuff as the show has been going on. So it's been like trying to sober up, you know.
Yeah, I myself I took a nap. That's about it. I slept from about 4 a.m. till about 6:30 this morning. And back
Jeez.
Up, I had to drive a couple hundred miles, you know, the whole deal, get in here to work. So the hangover will probably be tomorrow for me.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, man.
All right, man. Well, hey, good show, and we'll catch everybody later.
Sounds good. Thanks for tuning in. And everybody check out Outbreak Radio tomorrow night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I think there's two shows left to go until the ooze absorbs Outbreak Radio. And with all that being said and done, I believe we're talking about how to sit back and enjoy some porn.
I'll be on that show.
Yeah. Tomorrow night, 11 p.m., the Blog Talk Radio URL is blogtalkradio.com/outbreak. And, you know, come on out, check it out. It's me and Jason Sorrell just, chumming it up rather than trying to be all intellectual. It's a little more humor-filled. If you're left-hand path and you're looking for a good place to social network and exchange ideas, come check out Satanic International Network. And if you're in the need for some, Deviant bumper stickers or Deviant T-shirts and whatnot, posters, check out creativeoddity.com. With all that being said and done, we'll talk to you all next week.
All right, have a good one. Happy New Year.